Translation. The meditative devotee should slowly push up the life air from the navel to the heart, from there to the chest, and from there to the root of the palate. He should search out the proper places with intelligence. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. There are 6 circles of the movement of the life air, and the intelligent bhakti yogi should search out these places with intelligence and in a meditative mood. Among these, mentioned above, is the Swadhisthana Chakra, or the powerhouse of the life air. And above this, just below the abdomen and navel, is the Manipuraka Chakra. When upper space is further searched out in the heart, one reaches the Anahata Chakra. And further up, when the life air is placed at the root of the palate, one reaches the Vishuddhi Chakra. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shulakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raguna Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vashali Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So thank you for inviting me to speak something on this verse. I really humbly beg and request for all the blessings of the devotees to be able to share something on this verse, or this interesting conversation between Sukadev Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj. It's quite an interesting text, isn't it, when we're speaking about the pushing up the life air, and how is this relative to us, and why is it relative in the Srimad Bhagavatam? And this actually goes to show the mood of a devotee, because Parikshit Maharaj is sitting with 7 days to live, and he goes to the bank of the Ganga, and he's thinking about, okay, what do I do? You know, I've got 7 days to live, what can I do now? What should I do? And then there's lots of sages, and they're all having a debate as to what path we should be following, and who we should listen to, and who's going to give us this right discourse on what one should do at the time of death. And everyone agrees that Sukadev Goswami is the person that we should listen to. So Sukadev Goswami is explaining to Parikshit Maharaj the glories of Krishna, is explaining to Parikshit Maharaj that hearing and chanting, Shravanam and Kirtanam is the essence. And Parikshit Maharaj understands this, he can relate to this because he's grown up as a devotee of Krishna, he's lived as a devotee of Krishna, and He's hearing Sukadev Goswami and totally resonating with what Sukadev Goswami is saying. So then why is it that we're going into this direction of the yogis and what the yogis do? And this really shows the mood of Parikshit Maharaj. He's worried about all the other sages that are there. He's thinking, okay, I get it. Like, I get it, hearing, chanting, I can roll with that. That makes sense to me. But everyone else around here, they don't all believe in Krishna. They don't all have faith that hearing and chanting is what we're meant to do. So Sukadev Goswami understands this and therefore also gives the other processes, or gives some knowledge on these other processes, like this satchakra system of pushing up the life air. So this response by Sukadev Goswami is also interesting. So Sukadev Goswami, he's going to be giving this knowledge, and to us it's a very good preaching tool we can learn from this, how we can share Krishna consciousness with others who are not maybe fully interested in Krishna yet. Yet being the operative word. So how do we bridge the gap? So Sukadev Goswami, he's talking about hearing and chanting, and then he starts talking a little bit here about what the yogis need to do and how the yogi can attain perfection. And then later on in this chapter, we'll hear again how Sukadev Goswami brings it back to Shravanam and Kirtanam, hearing and chanting. So it's an interesting way of preaching that we can say, when we're trying to share Krishna with others, we can say, look, yeah, we hear, we chant. Oh, but they're interested in something else. So we can discuss that something else they're interested in and then bring it back to, oh, hearing and chanting. This is actually going to be easier than what you're trying to do. One friend recently asked me about, is it okay to meditate silently? And I was thinking, yeah, it is, but actually it's better to meditate hearing the name of Krishna, hearing the sound vibration. But at the same time, Krishna explains in the Gita that we shouldn't discourage those that are trying to do something. So we can't just be like, no, what you're doing, this silent stuff you're doing, it's not going to work. You've got to just, here's the beads, just chant Hare Krishna and don't listen to anyone else, don't do anything else. That's not really going to invoke a nice relationship, and they might not understand. So we don't discourage the practitioners who are trying to search out the truths. But somehow, intelligently, we try to package what we're trying to give according to who we're speaking to. So this may work for some devotees, for some people it may work. It's kind of like a sandwich. You give the Shravanam Kirtanam, you get into what they want to talk about, and then you give the Shravanam and Kirtanam again. So it may work with some people. With some people, you might have to leave it as, okay, we do hearing and chanting, and actually, yeah, you know your thing, your silent meditation, yeah, give it a go, see how it goes. You know, it's great you're doing something. And then maybe it might not be appropriate with that person to home in on hearing and chanting again, because they might not appreciate that you've appreciated them or accepted what they're saying. So one nice tool that Sukadev Goswami has given us is how we can preach according to who we are preaching to. Parikshit Maharaj is interested in everyone else. He's interested in who else is at the assembly, even though he's got 7 days to live. I mean, if you're at the doctor's with 7 days to live and everyone else starts talking about something else, you're like, hey, hold on, I've got 7 days to live, I've got to sort myself out here. You know, but everyone else is talking about something else, and they're all getting into different conversations, nothing to do with your illness, nothing to do with helping you, they're just talking about other things. How would we feel? What would we do? I know what I would do. I'd be like, be quiet, I've got 7 days to live, sort me out first, you guys have got ages. But Parikshit Maharaj didn't think like that. Parikshit Maharaj, Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Bhagwan Ki Jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai, Gornitai Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Parikshit Maharaj was interested in everyone. This is the mood of a devotee. This is the mood of a devotee. The devotee is interested in helping everyone, not just going out to save oneself. How can I serve everyone else? How can I serve everyone to reach the goal of life, which is the lotus feet of our Supreme Lord? So how do we do this? How can we learn from this? How can we understand this in our day-to-day life? How can we really bring out this mood and intention and desire to really serve others? Well, the first thing is that the super soul is there 24 hours a day. Like 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There's no getting away from Krishna in the heart, because he's in the heart. Sukadeva Goswami is explaining here to Parikshit Maharaj that actually after meditating on the Virat Rupa, the universal form, then we bring it, we bring that meditation even deeper to Vishnu and the four-armed form of Lord Vishnu. And as the meditative devotee concentrates on this form of Vishnu, he begins to become more and more purified, more and more purified, as he then leaves his body through the upper chakra from the crown of the head. So this purification is due to the devotee, the meditative devotee, understanding that Krishna is in the heart. He's the super soul in the heart. So we have got 24-hour surveillance. So we can think of that in a fearful way, or we can think of that in a very appreciative way. We can be fearful, oh my God, because if we're doing the wrong thing, then we're going to be a bit fearful. Right, so if after I drive out of the manor and I see McDonald's and I think, actually, you know what, none of the devotees are going to catch me because no devotees come to McDonald's, and I just drive in there, get myself something and come out, you know, I'd be fearful, will anyone see me? So I could be fearful, oh God, super soul in the heart, actually, you know what, Krishna's in the heart, maybe I won't go to McDonald's, not today. But actually, the fact that the super soul, the fact that Krishna is with us in our heart, is very comforting. It's very comforting to know that Krishna is always with us. And when difficult situations come, when difficult situations in our life come before us, and we know they do because we're in this material world for that reason, we're in this material world to ultimately experience some sort of misery, some sort of dukkha. And by experiencing some sort of dukkha, some sort of misery, we can fine-tune ourselves to Krishna. We can fine-tune ourselves to depending on Krishna. So when the material world is giving us all this misery, giving us all this dukkha, and it comes in so many different forms, doesn't it? Relationships, it comes in terms of health, in terms of finance, in terms of our own subtle desires that are not being fulfilled or have been fulfilled, but it's just that sorchati and gangshati, we're hankering, we're lamenting more and more and more, then we can really appreciate that Krishna's in our heart. And if Krishna's in my heart and he's the Supreme Lord, that means that everything that's coming to me is perfect. Everything that's coming to me is perfect because it's coming from Krishna. Doesn't necessarily mean Krishna wants things to happen, but Krishna has permitted. Krishna is the overseer, he is the permitter, and because he is the permitter, he's let it happen. If Krishna's let something happen, and he could stop it, if he wanted to stop whatever's happening, he could stop it, but because he hasn't stopped it, and because he's let it happen, we can appreciate that this is what Krishna wants for me right now. This is what he wants me to go through at this moment in my life. And how do I react? How do I react to what Krishna wants? Well, how did Parikshit Maharaj react? Did he say, that's not fair? My two daughters, that's their favorite line. Papa, that's not fair. And we think, okay, only children do that. But actually, we do that too. Why me? How could this happen to me? I've done everything. Last 20 years, I've been chanting Hare Krishna. She still left me. Last 20 years I've been chanting Hare Krishna. I still got this problem at the door and I've got to go to the hospital every week. Last 20 years I've been chanting Hare Krishna and I've got no money. Nothing. I've got nothing. So do we blame Krishna? Do we say that's not fair? Or do we approach the Lord and beg the Lord and say, okay, my dear Lord, how can I serve you? This is my situation. This is the situation that I am in. This is the situation that you've allowed to happen to me. How can I serve you in this situation? And please give me the strength to serve you in this situation? How can I serve you in this difficult situation I'm in this really, really, you know, every time we have a difficult situation, the line we give, because it's so true at that point, this is the hardest thing I've gone through in my whole life. You know, and it's what we just say, the most recent situation is the hardest situation. Because as time passes, the previous situations, they kind of go by, you know, like Krishna says, the summer and winter season. So they come and they go, and because after they go, it's like, actually, yeah, that wasn't so bad. And the last situation seems like it's the hardest thing we've ever had to go through. It may not be, it could have been, it may not have been, but the most recent situation is usually the most difficult one I've ever had to go through in my whole life. And what do we do with that? We can either feel sorry for ourselves, we can start blaming everyone else, or we can ask Krishna, how can I serve you? How can I serve you in this most difficult situation that I'm in right now? So, Parikshit Maharaj, he's asking Shukadeva Goswami, what should I do? Should I hear? Should I chant? What should I do? Shukadeva Goswami said, no, we should be hearing, we should be chanting. And this is the situation for the yogis. This is what the yogis do, and he gives us the whole process of pushing up the life airs, etc. So pushing up the life airs, etc. The yogis meditating, and then it's like, okay, where does the yogi go? Where does the yogi end up going? You know, because we hear about impersonal realization, we hear about Brahman realization, we hear about Paramatma realization, and we hear about Bhagavan realization, and we kind of can think, okay, generally speaking, Brahman realization means we go to the impersonal energy. Bhagavan realization, that takes us to the spiritual world. But where does Paramatma realization take us? Where does that Paramatma realization take us? Where's the destination? And the destination for the Paramatma realized yogi or the devotee is trying to meditate on the super soul, it all depends on the mood and intention. It depends on the mood and intention of the yogi. So if the yogi is meditating to control his senses and get away from all the material miseries, And that's the purpose, that's the mood, that's the intention, then the yogi will go and get impersonal liberation. If the yogi is meditating on the super soul, and meditating on the super soul with the desire to overcome material miseries, at the same time understanding, I can't do it by myself, I need to depend on the Supreme Lord, then the yogi can attain Bhagavan realization, maybe in a neutral, in a dasya type of relationship, in a neutral relationship, shantaras, should I say, shantaras relationship. But if a devotee, a bhakti yogi, a bhakta, is practicing meditation to help overcome the force of the senses and to control the mind, but the purpose is to glorify Krishna, to serve Krishna, to be with Krishna, then that devotee can attain Bhagavan realization, can attain the spiritual world, should we say. So what's really telling and what's really important is the motive and intention is so important. It's so much more important than the actual action. It's so much more important than the position that we might be seeking. It's so much more important than dhanam, janam, and sundarim. So when we're praying to the, when we're reciting the Shikshashikam, nadanam, najanam, nasundarim, kavitam, vajagadishikamaya, mama janmani, janmanishwaraya, pavatat, bhaktir, ahetuki, twahi. We're praying to Krishna. Lord Chaitanya has taught us this prayer. My dear Lord, I do not want any number of followers. I do not want to enjoy with the opposite sex. I do not want wealth. I just want your causeless devotional service, birth after birth. So we make this prayer, even if we still want dhanam, janam, and sundari. We still make this prayer because our intention and our desire is to have that desire, not to want Dhanam, Janam and Sundari. And when we make this prayer, the Lord listens and the Lord reciprocates. I can give you an example. I have two daughters. My elder daughter, she's 8 years old, Keshavi, and my younger daughter, Revati, she's 4 years old. So my 8 year old, you know, she was really, you know, she was a papa's girl until she turned about 4 or 5, and then she's become like her own person now. She's like a teenager, even though she's only 8. Recently, you know, she really loves her prasadam. She's really into her prasadam, so she loves paneer and tacos and pizza, and she loves her prasadam. So I just once asked her, Keshavi, what do you like more, papa or paneer? You know, I just thought I'd just ask her. She said, obviously paneer. Okay. And then I said, okay. And she could see I was a bit like, you know, a bit down. And she said, but papa, and I thought she was going to say something nice. She said, but you told me never to lie. Okay, this isn't getting better here, Keshavi. You know, I'm not feeling too good about this. And then Revati heard this conversation. Revati, she's only 4, so she still loves me. So Revati heard this and she said, Papa, I don't want Cocoa Pops, I don't want chips, I don't want ice cream, I just want my papa. And I was like, whoa, I just want my, like, wow. And does she mean it? No, because when it came to breakfast, she's like, give me Cocoa Pops. And when it came to lunch, I want chips. She didn't mean it, but she said it, and it meant a lot that actually she said it. She somewhat means it, even though it doesn't fully mean it. So similarly, when we're praying to Krishna, Nadanam, Najanam, Nasundarim, we somewhat mean it, because we don't want to enjoy with the opposite sex. We don't want wealth. We don't want followers. But because we're still slightly attached, we don't fully mean it. But still, when we pray to Krishna, He reciprocates. It means something to Him. Just like it meant a lot to me when Revati said, I don't want Cocoa Pops, I don't want chips, I don't want ice cream, I just want my papa. It meant so much to me, even though she still wants those things. So we don't want these things. We don't want to want those things, but we're still attached to these things. But we still pray to Krishna with that desire to get rid of that desire. And that's our motivation. That's our intention. And if that's our motivation, that's our intention, then yayatamam prapadyante tamstateva bhajam yaham. As one surrenders unto me, I reward them accordingly. So Krishna reciprocates with us according to how we surrender. And our surrender stems from, do we have a desire to surrender? Do we have that desire? Or are we here? Are we here because we found an institution where we could get a bit of dhanam, janam and sundarim? We could enjoy with the opposite sex. We could gain wealth. We could, you know, collect donations. We could preach and gain followers. And if this is my motive, I'm preaching just to gain some followers, so people respect me. No one respected me in the material world. Maybe people will respect me here. Couldn't get a job out there, but people are giving me so many donations. No one would look at me over there, but oh, people think I'm a good devotee here. Maybe I'll be able to enjoy also. So is my motive and is my intention to get rid of that desire? Is my motive and is my intention to overcome these desires? Why are we doing our service? And we can always introspect. We can always look at ourselves. We can always reflect and take some time and think, why is it? Why is it that I want to do that service so much? Why is it that that service means so much to me? And we take some time and we think about it. And when we think about it and we reflect on what is my purpose, what is my motive? And once we understand our motive, we can work on it. If we understand our motive is as pure as it can be at the stage we're at in our spiritual life, then that's great. But we can really take some time to think about why we're doing what we're doing. Do we want to establish ourselves? Do we want the limelight? Or do we just simply want to serve? Do we simply want to serve to help others? Like Parikshit Maharaj, even though he has 7 days to live, He simply wants to serve. He simply wanted to make sure that even not just him, not he is purified, not just that he is helped, but those around him, those that are attracted to this this means of elevation, this means of liberation, that they are also helped, that they are also they're also getting something that will make sense to them when hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam from Sukadev Goswami. So for us, we know the super soul is there, we know that Krishna is watching, and ultimately Srila Prabhupada is a wonderful example of what it's like to be absorbed in Krishna 24 hours a day. Because many disciples testify that Srila Prabhupada, what he was like on the Vyasasan is exactly what he was like when he was in his room on his own. The devotees would see Prabhupada and see that Prabhupada is reading the Krishna book on his own, laughing, totally absorbed in Krishna. At any point, Prabhupada was totally absorbed in Krishna. And this is where we want to be. This is our integrity. Who are we when no one else is watching? My wife sees me very differently to when I'm on the Vyasasan. She sees the other me, the real me. And she's like, how can you be like this on the Vyasasan and like this at home? But Prabhupada was the same person, totally absorbed in Krishna. Totally absorbed in Krishna when he was on the Vyasasan, when he's opening a temple, when he's chilling out in his room, when he's taking a massage. Whenever Prabhupada was, whatever he was doing, he was totally absorbed in Krishna. And he had one motive, and his motive was to serve others. His motive was to give Krishna to others. When he came to London and a news reporter asked him, why he's come, what he's here for, Prabhupada said that the Britishers, they've looted India, but they forgot to take one thing. They forgot to take the Srimad Bhagavatam. So I have come to personally deliver what they forgot to take. So Prabhupada's mood was just to serve. Prabhupada's mood was just to give. Prabhupada's mood was to help everyone attach themselves to Krishna. And Parikshit Maharaj is also an example. He wanted to become, he was absorbed, and he wanted everyone around him to also benefit and become absorbed. So with what we hear, what we understand, we can introspect, we can reflect, and really try and apply the teachings. When we start applying the teachings to our daily lives, when we hear something, when we speak to a devotee and they tell us something, or they something strikes us, reflect on it. When we reflect on it, then we can try and apply it to our daily life. Otherwise, what happens is, we're there, but we're not there. We're kind of like asleep. Once one Indian gentleman said to Prabhupada, your disciples, they're always sleeping in class. They're always sleeping. And Prabhupada said, always? He said, they're always sleeping. Like, always? Okay, 95% of the time, they're sleeping. And Prabhupada said, okay, so 5% of the time, they're awake. And with that 5%, look how much they're doing. Look how they're giving their lives to assisting me to spread Krishna consciousness around the world. What are you doing? He said. So in that time we're awake, mentally and physically, are we trying to apply what we're hearing? Are we trying to apply what we're understanding? And we can apply what we're understanding if we really think about and reflect on the teachings we've been given, and then we can try and think about how we can apply them. And the best way is reflecting and taking guidance from senior devotees who know us very well. Okay, so I've gone a little bit over time. Forgive me. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.